You're listening to an SK Exclusive.
What's up, everyone? It is the 28th of January, 2012, and it is 12, well, close to 12 p.m. KST. It's 11:50, but semantics, who cares? Let's just round up. Today is the 17th episode of the SoshiCast. I'm your host, DreadTech. With us today, it's a pretty small group tonight because we've had people say that they'll try to make it, but they haven't, and we've been waiting around for, 40 minutes, but show must go on. We've got Steve. How's it going, mate?
It's going great. Hope everyone's having a good New Year.
We've got Newcomb.
Hey, what's up, guys?
And we've got Plot Bunny.
Hey!
Okay, so let's move on. It's the first SoshiCast of 2012, so we've got to rile off some really, really, really big important facts that have just happened in the last couple of weeks, months, whatever it's been. Firstly, it was Lunar New Year. What was it, last week?
Yep. Monday.
The 23rd. Well,
depending on where you are, I think it was it was a Monday for me. So yeah, 23rd. All right. So happy Lunar New Year to all you.
How does
Asian
Lauren know?
Seriously, she's the one who has on point with that.
Anyways.
So we're just gonna roll off, or to start off with, all the award shows that Soshi has been on. So we're just gonna go through all of them, and then we're gonna talk about them. So Girls Generation won two awards at the SMA Soul Music Awards. The first one was the Dispon Sung, and then the Inki Sung, which is the popularity award. Then they won the GDA's Digital Daesang. Only artist to win three of those, which is for two digitals and one disc. I think Tiffany, for the first time, finally received that award with them on stage. Is that right?
I think so, yeah.
Well, she just wasn't
there
last year.
She was hurt last year.
I think the other time they got it, I think she was there.
Yeah, and at the same time, we had Soshi trending on Twitter at that point. We also got them winning at the 26th Annual Japan Golden Disc Awards. It was for the best album, Asian best album, and one of the best three albums. So let's just start off. What do you guys think? It's a really, really good start to 2012, I guess.
Global generation.
I know they
totally expected it.
I know they say a lot that that every year it's always, oh, you know, this is our year, this is Girls' Generation's year, and it's just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'm wondering, on your thoughts, is this year going to be the same trend?
I hope so. I really hope so. You know, they're coming out to New York, too, in a couple of days, so. Global Generation!
Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah, that's a big one. That's not on our show notes, but we'll say that now, that Girls' Generation will be on Letterman and live with Kelly or on
live with Kelly.
I think with Kelly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With Kelly. Yeah, I don't know. I'm Australian, so I don't get stuff. Curse you! I gotta, find a way out of what's...
Oh, don't worry, they'll be on YouTube.
On the internet. Yeah, hopefully. That's gonna be interesting, because watching David Letterman, he's a little bit of a quirky guy, and he likes to pay off on a lot of celebrities and joke around with them. I'm wondering how Girls' Generation will take that
humor. I honestly hope it's kind of a performance appearance more so than an interview.
Well,
just because...
we'll get to that a little later.
Oh, okay, all right. Sorry, we're still talking about the awards.
Let's talk about the awards. Did anyone check out the
talk about the awards
or the speeches?
No.
From any of the awards?
The only award show I really caught live was the Soul Music Awards, and that was just part of the course. It's really, really good to see them still really, really strong.
The thing about the Golden Disc Awards is that this year is very different from what they normally do, right? So this year they had a two-day event type thing. I'm not sure if it was actually separate days, but they aired the award show on two different days. And then normally for most award shows, the way they structure the program is the most important award is last, right? So normally the last award that they give out is the Disc Daesang. I'm sorry for my terrible pronunciation. But they gave that
Daesang.
They gave that out on the first day, and then the digital was given out on the second day. So then there's this huge argument between so ons and elves, right, about like which award was actually more meaningful, which is really silly, right? But then interesting that they first of all, they separate the award show into 2 days, and then they also shot it in Japan instead of in Korea, which got a lot of people pissed off, because obviously if it's the Korean, like, it's supposed to be the Korean Grammy Awards, right? Like, that's what they call, consider themselves as, right? And then you're going somewhere else to sort of do the show so that Koreans can actually go there and attend it without having to pay to fly to Japan or whatever. So, they got some flack for that, but yeah, I mean, GDAs are sort of like the biggest awards, right? So it's nice that the girls are the first ever to win 3. Daesang. like Big Bang Daesang. Okay.
Yeah. Close enough.
Yeah, so they're the only ones who have won 3. So TVXQ has won 2. Super Junior's won 2. Girls' Generation has won 3. I think SG Wannabe, some other people have won like a couple, but But anyways, yeah, it's a big achievement.
One really big achievement was them being at the winning at the annual Japan Golden Disc Awards. Is this the first time they won?
I think so.
Yeah, it is. Because
I think it is.
It's interesting because they won for their Girls' Generation album, right? Like the Girls' Generation Japanese release.
The full album.
And then the way they did the award show this year was, I'm not sure if they do this every year, but they divided it, each category into different regions. So like, for example, for Album of the Year, there's like a Japanese winner, and then there's a world winner. So that was Lady Gaga. And then there's like an Asia winner. So all the Asia categories were basically all Korean artists. So it was like Japan Album of the Year, AKB48 or whatever, like some artists. I'm not sure. I don't remember who it was. And then it would be Album of the Year Girls' Generation, and then Album of the Year Lady Gaga. And then they did that for almost all of their awards. And then they also had like these other awards where it's like top 5 albums. So it's like they would do that exact same thing, the exact same process. So it'd be like top 5 in Japan, top 5 in Asia, top 5 in the world or whatever. So they really gave out a lot of awards to a lot of different artists, but then it's nice that the girls are getting recognized in Japan. And to win Album of the Year is a pretty big deal. So that shows you how powerful or how popular their first Japanese full album was.
Awesome. Anyone else have any other thoughts about the award shows?
I'm just like trying to read up on it. It's so hard to keep track of all of their awards, and I honestly wonder where they keep them all.
Yeah, like I'm sort of new to the K-pop scene, so I don't really know what Seoul Music Awards. Like, I didn't even know what that was. Sort of like, how big is it in terms of like scope? Because like they didn't really, like, I don't want to say they didn't really win a big award, but like, I don't know. How big is an Inky Sang award or Inky Song?
I think the popularity award is pretty important.
Yeah. The Inky Sang is based off of votes, I think. So I'm pretty sure it's just like,
it's weird,
a voting war.
It seems like Girls' Generation never remember voting wars, you know what I mean? Like, when it comes to voting wars, they usually don't come out on top. But, yeah, I mean,
I think it was funny because I remember looking on Twitter on the while the votes were going, and it seems that the So Ons always were keeping tabs on the other artists, making sure they had the
list. Why does that not surprise me?
It was pretty funny.
Keep voting.
Yeah, why does that not surprise me?
We have to win.
We have to stay ahead.
All fan bases are
anyways.
Like,
yeah, they are. It's not just
We'll talk about like award shows just briefly. If you guys were to structure, like, let's say you guys were put on a committee to design an award show to basically do like a music award show, basically. So how would you structure the way you judge who wins what? You know what I mean? Like,
that's a really, really, really hard question, because whoever, like, no matter which side you pick, there's always going to be a side that is unrepresented. And to do everything is just way too much. So if you do a voting system, then how do you know the people who are voting for them aren't either... Anyways, it depends on how they structure it, because if you pick a voting system, like, depending on how you do it, let's say an internet voting system, then people will try to, you know, create fake accounts or reroute their IP or something. If you're using, and you don't know whether the people who have voted have bought a retail release or whether they've got the album illegally, and it just depends, like, is it a legitimate vote if you don't support the product? And there's also the fact that if they go retail-wise, there are people who, you know, illegally download it but love the crap out of their artist, but they just don't have either the patience or the conscience or the means, even financially, to buy all their albums. So it becomes a really, it becomes a seesaw, and per the course, in the end, the company's got to pick one way to do it, and they've got to stick to their guns.
Yeah, I just want to bring that up, because, like, in the past, like, Mays had went off on a little rant about Mama or whatever, and then, yeah, it's just...
Oh, yeah, well, rigging it is an entirely different process. doesn't matter what format a company chooses. If they want to rig it, they want to rig it. Not saying that Mama rigged it, but May, you know, put her points forward, and, you know, she does have a couple of good points. It just seemed, my problem wasn't that they rigged it. My problem was that they pre-announced the winners somehow, and they created an event in which it seemed
you can
very
talk
very
or
set
you don't
up.
Have to type.
I know.
I just want to point out that, okay, I'm a terrible so-on, so, like, Girls' Generation won the last two Daesangs, or Daesang. Daesang. For the Seoul Music Awards. So they won the last two. So if they won this one, it would have been 3-0. They didn't, so boo-hoo. But yeah, so they won the last two. So okay, so obviously for Seoul, this is like a special award show type thing. It's been around for a while, too, the 1990s. Anyways.
I think it's the one too that, like, people hold the, put on the highest pedestal. The disc Daesang.
Maybe, yeah, they won the Daesang last 2 years. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah,
so
it's
they
kind
basically
of like,
won the top award for the Seoul Music Awards for 2 years.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's the one that fans get riled up over the most, and Everlasting Friends. I can't call them elves. I laugh. So. I don't know. And that's not an insult. It just I'd rather call them Everlasting Friends. I just noticed, like, you know, they were really, really adamant about wanting to win this year. So it's a really important award show. That's what I was trying to say. People hold that to the highest degree. So that's okay.
Clap, clap.
Yeah, and so wanting to win, like, the most prestigious award is something that all fans try to strive for.
Oh yeah, I want to point out that there was a lot of winners who won the Daesang a lot of times, actually, but none of them were idol groups. So I just correct that, because a lot of solo artists have won the Daesang like 3 times at least. So that was like back before idols happened. So Girls' Generation joined some elite company, but they're the first idol group to have 3 Daesangs. Yeah, and they're the only group of 2 of the digital ones.
Also, the first group to do
it.
Okay. Okay. Moving on. On the 17th was the international release for The Boys. I think it was the mainly done in North America. So it's
no.
What was
no,
that?
It's hot because you couldn't find
it's like,
anywhere.
Suck it.
Seriously. I went.
Yeah, apparently, yeah. So let's go into that. So apparently it had, like, no photo book, no card, just, you know, the CD jacket and the case. And apparently, like, most of the US retailers, all the major ones, there was no, like, there was,
for
like,
sure. Yeah, I went over to
store inventory. So
Best Buy.
Did you guys look around?
It. Went over to Walmart, didn't have it. It's pretty weird.
Yeah, you actually have to really go searching for it. Like, I know Dylan, who joined us on the last Shoshicast, he had to travel from, like, Walmart to Target to, like, a ton of stores before he finally found a store that had a copy of it. So I don't know what happened with, like, the distribution or whatever, but certain stores have it, certain stores don't, so.
Well, I think it's up to the store's discretion as well whether we're going to stock it or not, and I don't think that they were prepared that people were going to buy it, because if it pops up on the store's inventory and they have the chance to put that in their stock, they go, I don't think we're going to sell that. Let's just not buy it. I mean, it happens to game stores as well. If they don't think a product is going to sell, they're not going to stock that many products.
Apparently, and Walmart has a K-pop section in the States.
I'm pretty sure this is the they're just like, what the hell is this?
I didn't see it. When I went to Walmart, I didn't see their music section was pretty weak. It was like two rows, and that was like all their music. So I was like, yeah, I didn't see a K-pop section at all.
I think
maybe it's just some places.
The producer or whatever, the company behind the artist says, oh yeah, you can find it at these places. They're very ideal when they say these things. They're talking about the ideal, because when you go or when you talk to them, like Best Buy, for instance, the person I talked to had no idea what I was talking about. He said, they're from Korea. Why would we have them? Right. So yeah, I know. Same thing happened in New York. I don't know. It's kind of like, you really do have to search hard, but they are there. I did eventually find it, so.
You should have just been like, aren't most of the products in your store from Asia in
from general? China.
Yeah, anyways, for any Americans who want to grab it, or North Americans, you can get on Amazon.
I'm pretty sure not even they would know that.
I'm sure they have plenty. So maybe your local store might not have it. If you can't find it, just check Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, Walmart. Target probably has it. I'm not sure. I think Target has it. But yeah, a lot of the big chains. Best Buy. Daryl, did you manage to land a copy of the?
No, I actually ended up just buying it off iTunes. Okay. I was like, yeah, whatever. I'll just buy it on iTunes. I couldn't find it.
Yeah, it's basically the typical North American packaging. So you get it in that little flimsy plastic case that's really cheap and ghetto. And then there's like the little small photo jacket. And then you get like some pictures from the actual photo book and all of them.
Yeah, that's what I got on the iTunes.
Yeah, it's basically package. Just like any other North American CD. It's just you got Girls' Generation songs on there. That's pretty cool. Oh yeah, and Daryl. So
what's up? Yeah.
You went actually like
awesome.
Never mind, forget it. I was just gonna say how like now you can actually go into Walmart and show your friends, but you can't find it.
They can't find it. I wanted to do that. I wanted to take a picture and put it on Twitter, but I couldn't find it. I'll have to go look again sometime at some other store, see if I can find it.
If you were to find it, like, on happenstance, like, next week when you're grocery shopping at Walmart or whatever, are you going to pick it up?
I bought it already on iTunes. I don't know, maybe.
Why don't you just pull a JC and buy 8 copies? What's wrong with you?
Yeah, you would.
Although there's no photo card, so you can't really justify it. It's like,
yes, exactly.
That's a Kenneth just, as well. Pull a Kenneth.
I have it already now on iTunes. Anyway, we'll see. If I find it, we'll see.
Continue to support the girls, everybody. Continue to support the girls.
And you know, that works for, that ties into the whole format that companies can use for, like, to vote on who wins. Because, again,
that's why it's so silly that the one fan who buys 10 copies divide the digital.
Does that count?
Like, why don't they just combine it? I don't understand. Like, a lot of award shows, they just combine it to one big award instead of, like, two separate ones. It's like, one's a consolation, one's like,
I think it's because it's the coming of
the year. Yeah, see, that's like for me, honestly, I would rather buy the digital because, like,
yeah.
I mean, it's.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like having CDs lying around because they just take up space. And honestly, it's nice to have a
physical. You guys aren't real Silwans, man.
Honestly, like,
whatever. We're still supporting them just digitally.
Albums are just in the cupboard. They're just in the cupboard, and that's it. Forever! And, like, when it's the fact that I can access the songs without having to pull out a CD. If it's a TV show that I buy and I need that,
I can totally imagine the future of, like, all someone purchases will all be digital.
I'm not going to use the CD.
Everyone buys, like, a ton of photo books. Like, just. No, digital photo books don't work the same way.
Yeah, no, it's, you want the actual photo book in your hands so you can spaz. It's just not right using the mouse scrolling down. So, one last thing before we have a break. The Boys album, best-selling of 2012 in Korea, according to the Gaon Music Charts. 385,348 units sold.
Yeah, it's a lot for a Korean market.
Musically, that's ridiculous.
I'm not
ridiculous.
Sure if it's like Korean market numbers, but I'm pretty sure it
is. Yeah, no, I think the Japanese market is the same. a couple of hundred is a real, real, real good sell. Yep. So we're going to take a break now. Just before that, Lauren, did you want to clarify something?
Yep. Did you want to chat?
Yeah, I didn't want there to be any misunderstandings when I was talking about the GDAs earlier and talking about elves and so on. I just wanted I didn't know what I was saying earlier, but I just wanted to make sure there weren't any misunderstandings, that I wasn't, you know, insulting elves or anything. So I'm glad that everyone in that category that I was talking about was able to win. So one shouldn't be upset. They, you know, got to win last year and elves got to win this year. Everyone's happy. Yay.
Okay, cool. All right. So we're going to take a quick break. Yeah, I was laughing. We're going to take a quick break. The break song that we're going to play for you guys was Sweet Delight by Jessica. And we'll be right back. Welcome back, guys. That was a very, really, really quick break taken by us, but we're just going to be moving on now. Girls' Generation breaks the record for being in the top 10 in the Japanese Oricon music charts for 17 straight weeks. I think this is the first Japanese album. Is that the one with Run Devil Run?
Yeah, it's the one with all the Korean... Yeah.
Their first Japanese album.
It's just until Girls' Generation.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
17 straight weeks.
That's more beast action.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 17 straight weeks.
Fun tidbit is that the previous record was held by another Korean album, which is the official soundtrack for Winter Sonata, the drama. Yeah. It's really interesting how our girls are really, really, really quite, like, aside from all the controversy, and there are still anti-Hallyu star, fans in Japan, it's really interesting to see how they've taken off like this.
Yeah, their first album was like, it's like 17 straight weeks. I mean, not even Kara did that, right? So, I mean, Kara's really loved in Japan, like, a lot. But, GG, like, their album is selling so well that, they even won Album of the Year, right? As we previously talked about in the Japanese Golden Disc Awards. So, I mean, that, Japan has Girls' Generation Fever, so, what can you say?
Star power, baby. Yeah.
Any thoughts, Lauren? You're into your J-pop, so what are your thoughts on like the whole K-pop, J-pop hybrid type thing?
Was that to me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there another Lauren in here?
No, I think it's a Lawrence. I was like, he's not here anyway.
Lawrence? Lawrence?
Well, actually, I wanted to say, well, you mentioned Kara. I just wanted to say, I don't know if we should compare. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Okay,
it's just me. I don't know.
No, I mean, there's just this whole thing between Camellias and so on, mm-hmm. where it's like, there was that whole thing with like, oh, let's see, you can sell a million albums in Japan faster, because like, apparently both of them have like 800,000 or something in sales in Japan.
Yeah. So, well, and didn't Girls' Generation recently like, ship a million units, didn't I?
Yeah, they shipped a million, but that...
Right, exactly. Shipping but is see, not that's selling. Where someone's ego is kind of inflated a bit, and yeah.
Is a big deal that they shipped a million.
Well, whatever.
It's just not hard profit or hard money.
But I don't know. I think it's incredible that they're being accepted so readily by the Japanese pop culture community. I mean, you know, I don't think everyone in Japan knows their name yet. I don't think everyone in Japan knows Kara's name yet. But no, I don't think they will either.
I think they will, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't say a niche community, but I mean, it's just like people who love K-pop. You know, it's not going to be everyone. Not everyone in Korea even loves idols. But it's good to see. It's great to see that they've been accepted so well. And I don't know. I mean, they're even up against artists like AKB48 and like Maeda Atsuko, and that's impressive that they do so well that they can even chart with someone like that. So 17 straight weeks is definitely a huge achievement. It is.
That's a long stretch of
it
time.
Really is.
Over 4 months.
Wait.
Exactly.
That's over 4 months. Like four. Like
4 months and a week.
Is it over?
That's that is incredible. I don't know what else to say about that. It's
like for music charts.
That's ridiculous.
That's
such a long time.
I mean,
that's a long
time.
The
only other people in Japan who really chart like that are really like Japan's girl group, their national girl group, AKB48, and you know, maybe. I don't know, Lark and Seal, you know, and like the bigger names, Heisei Jump, Arashi.
What about like BoA? How did she do way back when she was, because she's really popular in Japan too, right?
She was. Well, she, a lot of people credit BoA for allowing Soshi to kind of get this really good jump start in Japan, but BoA wasn't really that accepted in the beginning. You know, she really, really had to work for it. And I'm not saying SNSD didn't, so please understand me there. But BoA, there just wasn't as much of interest in her when she was there promoting.
I see. Well, actually, what about, like, Utada or Ayumi Hamasaki compared to them?
Well, I mean, they are, you know, native singers, so they're going to get more attention. The native singers are always going to get more attention. I think that's what someone's need to realize and, you know, respect as well. I think it's important to understand that you're not going to top, you know, some of those more popular native singers.
Yeah, you're not going to overthrow, you know, the...
Yeah, maybe
the
48 groups one day. Maybe. Maybe. Maybe not AKB, SKE. I'm all up on the AKB48 group stuff anyway. but well, I don't think...
AKB and SNSD collab, would you spaz?
Is that really a question?
Yes, you would, okay.
Okay.
Is that really an answer?
I want to see them do Genie, and...
You want to see AKB48 do Genie? So like 48 Girl King Genie.
They don't all 48 perform at the same time, and there are 57 girls in the group. They're right divided. Now. Let's not get into that. Anyway. It is. It really is. Thank God SOS only has 9. anyway, I want to see more interaction between them, though, too, because they are over there so much. You know, I want them to, like, have a variety of
Do you like to keep up with SNSD's Japanese activities, or?
I do, especially because I try to translate them as I'm watching them and fail miserably. But I think they should try to, or at least like their management over there. Who are they under over there? Isn't it?
It's Universal, I think. Yeah, not Universal. Suavi or whatever it is.
Oh yeah, Nayuta Wave. Nayuta Wave needs to really get them onto variety shows because that's where Kara received a lot of love, and SNSD needs to get on that. Shoujo Jidai needs to get on that. Imasugu.
when you say variety, do you mean like? Because it's. Do you mean like actual shows where they do an interview and perform, or do you mean the variety in the sense that they do?
Yeah,
like sort of like family
game shows where people can see their personality, because I know that their Japanese has improved. Yeah. I'm impressed. A little jealous, to be quite honest. But they
should be jealous of Su Young. She's pretty talented.
Yeah, and having not spoken it for how many years, and then coming back and being near fluent again. I mean, geez, and now she is again. But I think they need to go on those fun shows so people can see, you know, their warm personalities and how down to earth they really are. And I think when they're up on stage performing, they seem a little unreachable. And in Japan, idols are supposed to be accessible to the public. You know, they're supposed to be exactly like you.
Well, isn't that the same in Korea in a sense? Don't they follow the same sort of wavelength? Because it's not like Western entertainment where it's all just performances, basically no variety. I mean, they do have variety in Korea at the same time as the like the Japan.
No, not too far off.
I think what really differs J-pop from K-pop is where they get their influence from, right? So, like, I don't want to, like, K-pop, they really focus on looking as professional as possible. So they westernize some of their stuff. They the way they shoot their music videos, everything that they do, they try to do it to the best of their abilities, right? Whereas in Japan, like J-pop.
What?
Whereas in J-pop, like the feel of a music video and the feel of a performance is a lot more different than the feel of a Girls' Generation performance. Like Girls' Generation, when they do Run Double Run, they're really fierce and they have to really coordinate and they have to do everything precise. And it has to be like they have to drill it into their minds that they can do this performance, like even if they only have like 5 hours of sleep or whatever. Whereas J-pop is not really that type of, they don't aim for that type of professionalism in a way. I'm not saying that they're not talented artists or anything like that, but because K-pop has this ambition of becoming a worldwide phenomenon, they try to mimic the best. They don't do their own thing. They try to mimic the best and maybe even improve on that, but I'm not going to go into that or whatever. But like, I feel that that's the main difference because like Japanese people, they want to be able to relate to their artists and they feel like, oh, this is like the girl next door, right? Like, oh, this is just like that girl, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then that's how their idols are sort of looked at, right? So like, even I'll take the example of like an AKB48, for example. They have like a dating simulation game on the PSP for AKB48. So like, you can date like a ton of the members or whatever, and you can like interact with them and stuff. The men or the males in Japan or the fans in Japan, they like that type of accessibility. So I'm not like a hardcore J-pop person, but like I've heard people who are fans of J-pop sort of talk about like how they feel K-pop is totally different from J-pop and the things can't be compared.
No, I agree. I agree with what you said. I think, well, like you used AKB48, so I'll use them as well. In the past couple of years, there have been members of the group who would go up on stage, and you could tell that they had only practiced the choreography for a dance, you know, a couple hours, if that. And they do have really busy schedules. I don't think they're, you know, quite the same thing as Soshi. Yes.
Don't they have their own theater? Yeah, they do them every day. Their own theater hall?
They have about, I think, three or four shows a day.
I mean, that's pretty insane. Yeah. I mean, and that coincides with the whole.
But so there would be girls who, you know, really like were terrible at the choreography, and really they were just put in, as people like to say in, you know, K-pop, they're faces of the group. They were faces of the group for sure. They were there because they looked good or cute or whatever. Other than that, they had no idea what they were doing when they were dancing. But recently, and I had written an article for SNSD Korean a while ago about how I think it looks like J-pop is definitely taking a leaf out of K-pop's book and, you know, trying to really get their artists to do more choreography and really hit the moves hard and spend more time on vocals and that kind of thing. So, but back to the accessibility thing, I think in the end, J-pop is still, the idols are still a little more girl next door, but K-pop is definitely, it's getting there. It's, and, you know, I think, I know that SNSD is definitely, you know, the idol I think of when you say girl next door. So I think that helps them in Japan. That makes them very attractive.
Mm-hmm. So to summarize, like, Girls' Generation really wants to destroy Japan. They just need to go on variety shows.
Yeah, they do. That is where, I mean, think about it. Even in Korea, when you see them on variety shows, you learn so much about them.
Subbing teams, go recruit some Japanese subbers, and SMH will have to listen to this podcast so you can.
So, moving on, as we were saying before we go on to a big tangents, let's go back to the whole thing with Soshi being in the US this week. So, January 31st, David Letterman, and February the 1st, Live with Kelly. And they've also got a fan signing for on February the 2nd. Anyways, fan signing on Thursday on February the 2nd, 7 p.m. Best Buy, Union Square, 52 EST, 14th Street, New York, whatever that means. There's also a contest up on SoshiFight. I think, didn't they say that if you turn
There's
up
a whole bunch of contests,
days,
you can check it out on SoshiFight.
Have a photo with them?
We'll probably link it in the podcast. There's another one where it's like, if you take like a really awesome Girls' Generation photo or something, a Girls' Generation related photo while you're in New York.
It's probably with a cutout.
Yeah, something like that. And then you post it on SoshiFight. You also get like autographed merchandise. So there's a lot of contests going on.
I don't know. It's probably with a cutout. I'm just mad I can't go. Even to take a picture with a cutout.
They had that in the K-pop festival in Sydney. That was really weird. They had this giant tent and they had cutouts. And then there was like a line going like so long.
And you didn't get one?
People wanting pictures with cutouts. I'm just standing there going, what in the world?
That's fun. Because
I don't see the point. Honestly, it's a cutout.
It's a game. Honestly, though, it's as close as you're going to get to that. Really.
Exactly.
Now we would know how long to pose if she saw like a shiny cardboard cutout, right?
No.
And you know, like JC said, his Photoshop's way better. Just Photoshop yourself. At least it would look better anyway. Anyways, so how do you guys think about, what do you guys think of them appearing on US television?
That's cool. Yeah. More Global Generation. Kind of sad I can't go.
You reckon it's going to work?
I can imagine people who are just tuning in because they watch that show regularly are going to be like, click. I don't know.
Well, we'll see. It's probably just going to be Jessica and Tiffany talking, right? And maybe
there's a lot of
things
we can talk about here. Okay. Continue, Daryl, sorry.
That's all I was going to say. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, Lauren, you said you didn't want them to actually talk on the show.
No, okay, no, not talk at all. It's just I don't want it to be a long interview because I know he can be Larry King, right? That's who it is? No.
No, David it's Letterman. David Letterman. Larry
That's
King
what I meant. Whatever, Larry King,
David
Letterman.
Totally different. Whatever. If it was Larry King, we'd be talking about, like, the Republican... Anyways.
Sorry. Anyway, okay, so David Letterman. Why couldn't it be Jimmy Fallon? He's cute, so that would work. I don't know.
Jimmy can relate more to...
Jimmy would just laugh the whole time.
No, he'd actually make it fun, right? Like, that's what he always does.
Exactly. Yeah, this guy is going to be really serious, and it's going to put the girls off. That's my prediction.
I know some people were just saying, just their insecurities about the girls, like, how the Americans would view them. Like, that's why they don't want the they don't, that's why they don't want them to actually do like an interview, so to speak. Like, they don't want people to be exposed.
Yeah.
To, like,
I can see how they would be, be nervous about that, because American like entertainment is brutal. It is brutal. Like, I'm not saying that Korean isn't. Korean like entertainment isn't brutal, but this is a completely
market, yeah.
like foreign territory for them, to be honest. Like, to be on a TV show in America, I mean, in a concert, people who are fans of yours will buy your ticket. If they don't buy your ticket, they're not allowed in. But this is TV. Anyone who flicks on the TV mm-hmm. can see what's going on. So, and I'm sure there's going to be the average redneck who opens up TV and goes, what the hell is this?
But see, that person won't matter. But it's the people who, you know, could be potential fans or, you know, could be potential buyers of the albums and whatnot. Those are the ones who I'm afraid are going to see it and judge it right away and turn off the TV or, you know, change the channel.
Well, yeah, well, absolutely. That's weird. But the question is that the journey to America is to try and get more fans, not to try mm-hmm. and solidify their current fan base. You know, it doesn't really work for Korea as for SM as a company business wise. If this venture does not gain them more fans, it will, but will that outweigh the cost of them being sent to America? I mean, not that they don't have a big fan base already. I mean, as we've seen for in Essentown, New York.
I think the Live with Kelly is going to go off beautifully. I really do. I see that being a big success, and I see new fans coming out of that for sure, but I'm just not sure how the David Letterman thing is going to go. Maybe it'll work out really well. Am I wrong? Is J-Lo going to be on there? That's what I'd heard.
Yeah, she's going
to be on. For Live with Kelly and not for Letterman.
Oh, so it's Live with Kelly. Okay, I predict Hyoyeon says something like, I love your dancing or something like, I don't know. I predict a compliment from one of the girls about dancing or music or something.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I was saying. It's going to be a lot of Tiffany.
Depends on the, well, I haven't seen it, but it depends on the interview time. I mean, they could interview one and then...
That's true.
Honestly, though, it's going to be...
Are they all in the same room
together?
It's going
to be all Tiffany and Jessica talking, because nobody wants to speak English, you know?
I hope
maybe
not.
Maybe Suyeon, maybe. Well, we'll see, I guess.
Well, they want to put their best foot forward, so that seems to be the most logical answer.
Maybe Taeyeon will say something, or... Yeah, maybe they'll say a little something, but it's not going to be, like, full-on sentences like Tiffany and Jessica are going to be, like, building out, you know?
Well, and a lot of people are afraid of Jessica even speaking. They said she doesn't seem confident anymore, and I don't agree, but I can kind of see where they're coming from too.
I just think she's just being Jessica, and she really has no interest.
She's being a lady.
She don't give a beep.
Yeah. Well, I like Tiffany. Tiffany's. I think she's a good speaker. So, mm-hmm. and she's very, you know, her personality's bubbly. She's got her eye smile and all that stuff. So, I think
Well, like she says herself, she talks a lot.
Tiffany should have emceed the meetup.
She enjoys it.
I think it's actually, like, if it's done right, like, I hope he does incorporate, like, other girls. Like, I'm not sure if you guys have seen the one interview that was done by New York One's television network where it was...
Oh, that was funny. Yeah, that guy. Yeah, that was funny.
It was this reporter who knew Korean... Cool. You know, partially.
He just knew phrases.
He knew phrases, and he actually did some time. Like, he spent some time in Korea as well. I actually like researched the reporter because, like, I was like, who the heck is this guy? He's actually really famous. Anyways, that reporter did a good job of sort of like incorporating all nine of the girls in his interview, and then I think what might put off Americans more than them having, like, you know, accents or whatever. Like, I don't think that's a big deal because they know that they're going to know that beforehand that these girls are not American, right? They're from Korea or whatever. And I'm sure Tiffany will, like, explain that, like, oh, yeah, six of the members were born in Korea. They're native to Korea. And then Sunny, of course, was born in the States, but then she moved really young. But, yeah, I think as long as you actually highlight some of the other girls instead of just showing two faces, like just Jessica and Tiffany, that's better than the alternative, right? Because, like, it's sort of like...
I actually have an inclination to agree with that. I mean, if the American
people have something to relate to... It's sort of like Pussycat Dolls in a way, right? If if the Pussycat Dolls go on a show and you only talk to Nicole, then you only learn about Nicole, right? What you want is you don't want people just to look at Girls' Generation and be like, oh, it's Tiffany and Jessica's group or whatever. Like, if you give them some type of airtime or just a little bit of conversation where, like, Yuri can say her funny English or whatever, or, like, maybe have Hoyeon dance or something, like...
You reckon that'll go down well? I don't think that kind of humor is really that.
Or just, that's just random ideas, okay? But then, of course, it's David Letterman, so, like, I think David Letterman, his type of humor, for people who don't watch the show, he's sort of, like, a guy who likes to poke fun at things. So he's not the type of person who's gonna, like, he's not like Conan where he throws a lot of funny jokes. He sort of like points out like funny facts and like sort of like makes you elaborate on them. So like he's sort of like one of the harsher late night talk show hosts, I'd say.
I just hope they do their research before they jump on and they know what they're getting into. With Letterman.
And I'm pretty sure Soo Young will talk English for sure. Soo Young will.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm willing to bet money
on that. She seems pretty confident with her English too. I mean, if you didn't know her, you'd almost... If I didn't know her, I'd think she speaks fluent English, just with a little bit of an accent.
Yeah, and also, the Late Show, the music producer, is actually, like, sort of, like, a fan of Girls' Generation, because apparently there was, like, this news article where she sent an email to Girls' Generation. She's basically... Not Girls' Generation, Interscope, or whatever, their website, and she was basically saying how, they're really excited to have Girls' Generation on their show to perform. So if someone like that is excited for the girls, then, I mean, whether they fail or not, it's all right, because, like, they just get exposure anyways.
Well, I'm sure SM's management is being really careful about this, too. You should know how they are. They're always all about business.
Well, they tried it already with BoA.
That's true, too.
So they sort of have an idea of what they're getting into.
And they saw
what
happened.
So they're going to be more careful this time.
Yeah, and they saw
what happened really lucky
with Wonder Girls the last time. So
I don't remember Wonder Girls ever going on a show like this, though. I mean,
But they've been on Sunday talk show, like they've been on morning talk show, so it's not completely different.
I just mean Wonder Girls when they first, you know, dip their toes in the U.S. water. That was such an awkward metaphor. Anyway, when they first tried out, media over here, they got, I don't even know if lukewarm would be a good word to use to describe their reaction. So I think SM is definitely being really careful. So they're not being stupid, that's for sure. Like, they didn't just choose David Letterman because, you know, he was available. I'm sure that they did do their homework, but I don't know.
Maybe they're, I mean, I'm sure they're banking on SM Town, too, since it was so popular.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's why they're coming back to New York rather than maybe flying to LA or something, you know?
Yeah, probably.
So, I'm sure that has
and
to be
I bet there's going to be a pink, mini pink ocean in the...
Oh, yeah, probably.
I'm sure that, that kind of stuff will impress even, like, David Letterman. That kind of stuff will impress him, because, I mean...
Yeah, of course.
Either that, or David Letterman will say something to piss them all off and they'll just chuck him.
Well, let's hope not.
No, he's not, like, that big of a, like, yeah.
Well, you know what'll really throw him off?
Like, glow sticks. Pink glow sticks. Just throwing pink glow sticks at him. Like arrows in a storm.
And the fan chants, because, come on, no American group. You know, nobody has fan chants. That's gonna blow
that
his
is
mind.
True. Fan chants.
So. Oh yeah, I hope the crowd does fan chants. Also, I hope he doesn't ask those generic interview questions that they always get asked. You know what I mean? Like, and also another thing is that I'm not sure.
Well, what would you like? What would you like? The alternative that he asks them generic questions, or he becomes the more like
completely
David
Letterman
and starts. Really, like, poking fun
yeah,
at cause
them. Yeah, because you have to be able to take someone poking fun at you and stuff. Like, and I'm sure, like, GG will be able to take it well. Like, they won't be the type that's going to get all serious. Like, oh, like, you know, they like to have fun. So, I hope David Letterman is just David Letterman and he asks, like, interesting questions.
Do you guys think there will be a translator right there on hand, or do you think Tiffany will translate for them?
Probably
I
Tiffany
so.
And Jessica will translate.
Because I think having a translator there would be awkward.
It would be.
I'd like
awkward.
That idea better.
It breaks a lot of rhythm, and it breaks the atmosphere to have
translators. Although I've never seen them do that. It's always been a translator.
It's always been like a translator.
I would much rather see the girls just translate for them, but I've never seen that on any U.S. show or anything. It's always a translator.
I'm sure even before they say it, Tiffany and Jessica know what they're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they had a translator, did they?
I think they did.
Yeah, I think they did.
Because they just cut that part out. They didn't. Oh, yeah, it just showed them talking. It didn't show any, like, oh, there's a translator, blah, 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 you know? So I think they just edited that part. Yeah, well, that's my assumption, anyway. My assumption. I don't know if it's true or not.
Yeah. They're definitely going to perform, so.
All I know is that if there is a translator there, you know, I can see a lot of American people going, well, they don't speak English. Why the hell are they singing English songs?
Right, that's my fear.
That's a good point.
That's the vibe that you can really, really get. Like, it's a big focus on the Western industry, you know, especially America. You know, you don't speak English, you don't belong there, apparently.
But then there are going to be those people who are like, oh man, this is awesome.
I hope so.
These nine girls are amazing.
Yeah.
Hope so.
Come on, let's hope for the random guy who just tunes in and is like, damn, they're hot. Like,
yeah, it's similar to their...
Yellow Fever!
Like, release, right? As long as they gain one fan, it's like... Okay, maybe not one fan, but like any new fan is good.
Yeah, the numbers need to rise a fair amount for them to justify.
Well, they already put... Like, there's already some costs in it. Like, they already produce all these CDs.
Cool, and think about how many people, you know, the Live with Kelly and David Letterman both reach. Like, that's an astounding number. And just think, if we could even get an eighth of that, you know, to be interested. Yeah.
Yeah, just to Google them is already good enough. Like, you don't need to like them, right, just from watching one performance. I don't really care, but, like, just you actually
some of them,
Googling them or YouTubing them or whatever.
Yeah, and some of them, you know, maybe that would just be enough, you know, because maybe we don't want them to find out about the nitty or grittier details, like how the fandoms are a little crazy.
Oh, I hope Letterman talks about that. Do you guys know that there are pairings for you?
OTP!
And then he shows, like, a YouTube video of, like, Bintang or whatever, and it's like
that'd be pretty funny. I'd laugh.
I think that would scare the crap out of the typical American if they saw that.
Oh god.
You Asians are crazy.
The pairing question is a legitimate question. I mean, I could totally imagine David Letterman just to sort of break the ice, like. Or should I say, not even break that. It's like destroying the planet.
Seriously.
But anyways, yeah, Live with Kelly is probably even a bigger deal because Letterman doesn't get nearly as much audience as Live with Kelly. Live with Kelly gets mostly West Coast. So that's like Cali, like your territory, right, Daryl? And then they get like 5 million views according to Nielsen TV ratings. So 5 million views on average for a 1-hour morning show is pretty impressive. Like, it's more than Letterman gets, for sure.
And, you know, people even listen to Live with Kelly on their way to work and stuff, so...
Yeah, that's exactly this one. And I hope Taeyeon, like, they let the girls actually rest properly so that they can sing their best.
And they don't fall asleep.
Yeah, if anything, like, the performance has to be live, because I know Americans don't like... Like, for a fact, they don't like people who lip-sync, right? Like, that's just...
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So I hope they do a live performance, and I'm sure they will because
they can do it. They're professional artists. They've got plenty of experience.
They did like at SM Town. They did, but then when SM posted the video, they covered it. So I don't know. I
hate that.
Live. I know. Me too. Yeah,
I hate that. It's so annoying. It's so obvious too when you watch the video. It's like,
you hear that, SM? You hear
come
that?
On.
But yeah. I mean, it's gonna be awesome though, because like, if you got HD TVs, tune in on 11:30 or sorry 12:30, and you can see the girls.
1:30, you mean? Oh, 12:30.
No, it starts at 11:30 Eastern.
My bad.
12:30, and then for you it's 9:30. No, actually, no, it airs at 12:30 for you as well, right?
Yeah, it's probably the same thing. Take the
adjusted for time zone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, TiVo it, Daryl. TiVo it. Everyone should TiVo it. This is a historic performance. It's the first true television performance. Everyone should watch this.
And it's not just like YouTube, a little so tiny thing, too. It's, you know, Live with Kelly. That's the kind of thing that, like, okay, do not laugh at me here. But that's the kind of thing that, like, when they were hot, like, the Jonas Brothers went on and, like, you know, Justin Bieber and, okay, he's still hot. You know, like, those are the ones that the big artists over here go on. Yeah, it's all the big A-lists, right? What?
Yeah, and the A-lists.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, so also that for any New York Salons, there's going to be a fan sign on Thursday, February 2nd in New York, 7 p.m. Everyone should go. I know Ferrero Rocher 9 from our blog is going to be going. Frozen Arctic's going to be going. Yeah, so if you guys are in the New York area, you should definitely drop by and check that out.
Awesome. So let's move on to our last bit of coverage. Has anyone been watching the TV shows that Soshi has been on, say, like Wild Romance, Dangerous Boys, Invincible Youth? I've only seen up to episode four of Dangerous Boys.
Daryl, you know you've been keeping up with the shows.
Yeah, what are we up to, five or six? No, is it six now? I've watched through five. I don't remember what.
I think we're up to six.
What happened, though? Anyone want to give me a... I think it was a Christmas special.
Lauren, synopsis, go. You totally watched Dangerous Boys, didn't you?
What? Yeah, no, I'm not going to use synopsis, but yeah, I've been watching Dangerous Boys. I'm only up to episode two, though.
Oh, God, let's find it. What's episode five? I watched episode five.
Lauren's talking about the secret boy group thing. That was my conspiracy theory, okay? I said that, like, ages ago.
Don't you think so? Like,
this is the perfect way.
Yes.
SM.
Okay, and listen. Listen, the name of the show is Dangerous Boys, and come on, they bring the boys out. Oh my god. Hello, new boy group.
But yeah, they definitely don't have, they're not well rounded enough to actually do it.
No, I know. But look, they're doing gorilla concerts now.
Oh, okay, here we go. So in episode 5 of Dangerous Boys, they basically, it was kind of like the girls had promised them that they would do things outside of that building that they're staying in, like the dorm.
Right.
And so what they ended up doing was they went to the aquarium. And, well, okay, so here's what happened. They went to the aquarium, but then only 3 out of the 5 boys got to actually enjoy the aquarium with the girls because the other 2 didn't obey the rules that they had. Remember, like, the 4 rules? So the 3 of them had fun. They were taking these pictures. They had, like, these games where they were, like, take these funny pictures.
There's actually 2 of them.
We'll see. There's only 2 of them?
Oh, yeah, two of them got to go. It was Jisoo and Sung Won or Sunny's boy.
So there you go. And then the other 3 basically had to have dance practice and they got owned. And then the one guy, I can't remember what his name, I don't know what his name
is. Yeah, their personalities are really starting to show. Younghoon.
Is that,
it's Hyoyeon Yuna's boy.
Yeah. And he was like, oh man, being such a bad kid.
I like
Yeah, he's the oldest, but he was being the most childish.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
that was all bad.
The question is that, are they realizing they're being bad because they actually know they're being bad, or is it because they missed out?
It seemed like they're more disappointed to not hang out for that particular incident.
Yeah, that's a question that needs to be brought up. Exactly, and honestly, does that? I'm not saying that that's not going to send the wrong message. Because that's not sending the right message because. It can have a good effect on them, but I don't know if that's a good
They do some, like, real techniques, though.
But
like,
we just have to wait and see, I guess.
For example, like, making the boys write a letter about how they see themselves, like, 10 years from now. And then, like, I think they did that, like, in the beginning of the show, and they read that again. Or no, they did that for the latest episode, sorry. And they also did this, like, weird... like all these like things. Psychological analyses and stuff. And then the boys are actually also learning languages and learning a bunch of stuff. So like they're going through like some training, I guess, in a way. And then they're also doing like psychological therapy, what have you. But yeah, it's hard to say whether they're actually absorbing like their lessons that they're learning from like all these people.
Aww.
Honestly, those guys just need to do the 2 year mentors.
They're not old enough yet, though.
Yeah.
Do we have any psych majors in here?
No.
Okay. Psych majors. Psychology.
Don't care.
No. I'm still watching the show with, like I said, I'm not far into it, but I'm watching it with that whole, they're going to be a boy group in mind. I don't know.
How do you like the show so far, as a fresh viewer, Lauren? Because we haven't gotten your input on the show.
I think, you know, because they, especially with them doing the gorilla concert thing that I just read about, that like sealed the deal for me. But
who's your favorite pairing? Who's your favorite trio? Or
my favorite duo pairing. I like Hyoyeon and Mina's boy.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name.
Chodings.
Jettech, how about you? Have you been keeping with Dangerous Boys as well?
Not as much. I'm up to episode 4, so I've only seen 3 episodes.
I remember last podcast we didn't get a chance to ask you, so yeah.
Tell us about it. I still remain very, very skeptical of the whole show format, and honestly, I don't know if it'll change them at all, because honestly, they're just delinquents. They're not dangerous people at all.
Well, I think they had to do
part of the course that you can't have them with dangerous people, because that would be chaos and that would be very dangerous.
And Taeyeon would get kidnapped still, again.
They should have changed the title.
Taeyeon's kidnapper was not. He's.
So I know. Weird. I was kidding.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be a toss. Yeah. Like my favorite, my favorite pairing would be in between Sunny's dude or Jessica and Yuri.
Yep.
Because that guy, he's just that guy. Seeing that damn tall guy with a low voice. he doesn't seem really. He's just lazy. There's really no real bad quality about him other than the fact that he's really lazy. And I'm really lazy, so I can relate.
Oh yeah, Daryl, we didn't talk about the funniest part of episode 5. So spoiler alert for Lauren and Darren.
Go for it. I really don't care.
That's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, the boys wrote Christmas cards for the girls.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there was a particular instance where Taeyeon and Seohyun were being read letters from Younghyun.
And that's pretty funny.
he sort of just talks about Seohyun like she's a normal Nuna, so she's like, he's like, oh, Merry Christmas, have a good Christmas, be healthy, thanks for being a good mentor, or whatever. And then when he goes to Taeyeon's letter, it's like,
Yoshin! Yoshin!
Yeah, so he starts calling her a goddess and all this stuff, and then Taeyeon, of course, cracks up, and so do the rest of the girls. And then Seohyun, obviously, is...
She was kind of mad.
She was surprised by the favoritism. I don't think she expected it, because I think the way Seohyun sees it is that because she's so proactive and trying to help him, maybe some would argue even a little more proactive than she should be.
Yeah, that's one thing I've got to say. She's going about it I know a lot of people say, oh, you know, it depends on the person, but she's going around it the wrong way, to try and turn these kids around.
She's a lot better now, though. That was like the first few episodes.
Yeah, she's better, but that first one would have, like, honestly, if I was put in that position, I would have walked out.
But yeah, it was just extremely hilarious. Just the favoritism. It's like, it's exactly how like a so-on would be if they had a bias, right? Like, your bias is in your pairing, then you have like another member, and it's not like you don't like the other member. It's just, you know, this one's your bias.
Your bias wins.
Yeah,
always.
Like, so if you're gonna write a letter, it's like basically, I wouldn't say it's a love letter, it's more like total worship. And the funny thing is that they made him read it out loud in front of everyone, so he had to actually say it. Like, it wasn't like Soo Young read it or Taeyeon read it. It's like, he had to read it to Taeyeon.
Didn't he try and skip that last part too? And
yeah, Seohyun was like,
oh, there's something
PS
else
part.
Here. There's something else here. Read
the
it.
The PS was, leave, you're too beautiful or something.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you shouldn't be here, you're too beautiful or something. So yeah, that's pretty funny. And then Jisoo's boy also, he wrote cards for Yuri and Jessica, and they were identical. Except the name was different.
That's pretty funny.
There
that's
was a slight
funny.
Difference for Yuri's. And then everyone's like, oh my god, he likes Yuri. Like, all the fangirls are like, oh my god, Yuri in disguise, da da da. You know. But anyways. You know how fans are. They jump on, like, any pairing that they see that has potential.
Even if it's not animate.
It's animate.
Inanimate. Even if it's, like, inanimate, the pairing. Hmm.
Okay.
You know, like, Jessica, Cucumber, get it? Okay, whatever.
No, yeah, yeah.
I think that huh. kind of failed.
Wait, there's like Jessica and Cucumber.
There are people who ship that, okay? Sick, twisted people, but okay. So it's apparently,
I think because it's really, really funny.
Apparently, Sunny was picked as the best mentor.
That's yes? right. That was in the yeah. most recent episode.
Oh yeah. Well, then I spoiled.
I also had a quiz game.
I find that interesting.
Anytime they have, oh, sorry. Yeah. No, continue. Yeah. Continue.
Okay, I find that interesting because you know she was the best mom in Hello Baby, and now she's best mentor.
But who voted the best? Who vote? What was the voting system like for best mentor?
I don't know.
I think, to my recollection, they played a game, and then Sunny like by far knew all the most answers. The game was like, how well do you know your mentees?
Well, because Sunny was all by herself with her.
No. She answered questions from about other boys too. So like, she knew a lot about everyone in general. Like, she remembered a lot.
Which and again doesn't surprise me.
I'm not sure if there's anything else calculated.
Because she, like I said, she was best mom, and so that's good. Yay, Sunny!
I think we also there was also the episode where they had to do that little game where they tied each other by the arms or whatever.
Oh yeah, the team game. The rope. Team game, yeah.
That was the previous episode, and we didn't get a chance to last social cast. That was episode 4, I think. That is probably the single best game. Like in Soshi history, so anyways, okay.
Oh really? Yeah, I can't wait to see that. Awesome.
Yeah, it's funny. A really good show.
But yeah, the teamwork comes out and doesn't come out.
Alright. I think we have one last thing before we are able to log on.
Oh, Wild Romance, right?
What was that?
Did anyone watch Wild Romance or have any comments about it?
Yeah, I saw the clips that we had on the blog. Jessica looks so Kongju, it's ridiculous. She looks so evil in this drama, so we'll see where this goes. Because I watched it in Korean, so I don't understand a couple pieces. But she's just, her look, every time they put the camera on her, it's like, evil. So,
evil,
so we'll see. We'll see how she fares.
The thing with that drama is, it's very like, stereotypical Korean drama. So like they make things blaringly obvious. Like, oh, this person's the bad guy, so like they shoot them in a certain way, and then you know, this thing's gonna happen to this person, so they do this particular shot, and like the way they do the cinematography, the way the characters speak and their actions and stuff, it's very obvious that Jessica is a bad person. And they, of course, they do those typical like foreshadowings where it's like the main character has like a dream about Jessica stealing her man or whatever. So like what do you think of her acting? What do you think of like her first attempt at acting on screen?
I thought it was fine. She didn't really act too much. It was kind of just, it's pretty basic, you know? I didn't think there was anything really super hard that she had to do.
So did you think the role suited her personality well?
Yes. Because she's, you know, Owen Kongju of the group, right? So... I think it wouldn't be too hard for her to do the acting because she's, you know, I mean, at least on the outside, and we know she's not like that all the time, but, you know, I think this role is perfect for her.
All right, so on to our final thing. 2012 Girls' Generation Hong Kong Concert. It was, what, they start off with Genie and then they did 36 total stages. Any comments on that one? I saw some fan cams and some pictures, but really I wasn't that focused on that, but I'm told it was really, really, really successful.
I love how the girls wear the same thing. I mean, pretty much, correct me if I'm wrong, but they wear the same thing for, you know, all the concerts, but then Chinese netizens or Hong Kong netizens point out, you know, that Tiffany and Taeyeon were both wearing sexy outfits with lace and, you know, suggestive lengths of either shorts or skirts or whatever, you know, even though they've been wearing this the whole time during the whole tour. So
actually Taeyeon's outfit is actually less revealing than her normal Lady Marmalade outfit, because her normal Lady Marmalade outfit, she shows off like her whole stomach Whereas for the Hong Kong concert, it was a lot more covered up, but the design.
I think it was the type of outfit.
Yeah, the design of it was like it was very lingerie-ish. But I actually think it's less. And it's also it was because it was black. So a black outfit on a girl looks a lot sexier than like a light blue.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah,
that's true. I don't know. I just thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean, people make a big, like, it's just aunties making a big deal. They're like, oh my god, the shot's much yet.
Well, and like people said, oh, there could be children at this concert. You know, if they were, they were probably fans, so they probably didn't care. I don't know.
Children don't have those type of dirty minds, and if they do, it's already too late.
Yeah. it's already too late.
They can't be saved.
You can't save them.
But anyways, they actually had a really cool little pink they had like a really nice pink ocean. Is that right?
Really, I think good
they did
at that.
The article. They did. Yeah. They did. If you guys saw the picture on the blog, mm-hmm. it was a pretty nice looking pink ocean in Hong Kong too.
And at the end of the concert, they all had like balloons, and at the end of the concert, they let go of the balloons, and then like they all flew into the air at once. It was like their own little version of like the pink ocean from, I think it was Singapore. I think Singapore did like a big thing also. May was talking about like that. That was their version, like balloons in the air. So.
All right. Well, when they come here, we have to top that.
Yeah. If they do a solo concert, I'm pretty sure like y'all will, you know, get down there and like destroy it. You're probably like, I don't know. You probably find some way to like outdo everybody, right? Because we haven't had like a solo Girls' Generation concert.
Yeah, I hope that happens. Maybe in 2012, maybe not.
Yeah. Oh well, they can do the Pink Ocean in New York.
Awesome.
For Letterman, I mean. No, they could.
Did they?
I mean, no. It sounds like a lot of social fight people are gonna go.
Wait, did you say in New York?
Yeah, not. I mean, as in for Letterman and Live with Kelly. Like, if they're in the audience, they can do a Pink Ocean.
It'd be cool if SM broke out the pink bus again.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, we'll be able to look forward to their US appearance in a couple of days. It's the 28th where we are now, so 3 days?
4 days.
Is it?
No, 3 days. Yeah,
right. 3 days. Wow, that's really, really short. That was a really, really quick announcement. Like, it was just revealed this week. So, we can all look forward to that. In the meantime, I think that's all we have to say. This podcast has been going on for over an hour, so thanks again if you've been listening to us the whole way, and hopefully May will be back next time, so she can take her normal post as queen, I guess, and then we can all cower under her iron-fisted regime. Anyways, but thank you for listening. So see you next time.
Bye. 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 B